tonight, and I don't intend to be up here very long tonight. I know I was a little long this morning, but I tell you what, the Lord, when He directs you to preach something, you got to preach it. If it takes an hour, it takes two, it's got to be done. But tonight, I don't suspect this message to be a very long one, but I've got a topic here tonight that I've titled the message, "What About Your Sin?" And I'm going to look at some questions a lot of people have. One of those questions is, once I become saved, am I still a sinner? Also, the question of, what does God do with my sins when I confess them? And do I have to confess my sins? And we're going to look at some of these tonight and answer these questions from the Bible. Nothing that I've made up, but what God says. So, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." Now keep going to chapter 2, the first two verses. He goes on to say, "My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Father, we thank You for the reading of Your Word tonight. I'm praying now that You just anoint me for a few minutes, God, to be able to expound upon Your Word, what You would have us to know, Lord. And may we leave here today, God, knowing what a mighty God that we serve. For it's these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen." Well, you know, there used to be a time when you went to church and you expected to hear a message about sin. You expected the man of God to stand behind the pulpit, slap it, slobber, spit, yell, scream, turn red, and talk about your sin, talk about hell, talk about heaven, talk about salvation, how to be saved. Nowadays, it's not so. You go to the majority of churches today and you're not going to hear any messages dealing with man's biggest problem in sin. In fact, they want to pet people's sins. They don't want to mention them. Don't want to tell you you're a sinner. My goodness, we can't know that. Do you know they're actually changing words of old hymns and taking out certain things, a sinner such as I and a worm such as I? They're taking those words out of the songs in some churches. Back when, I don't want to talk about a man that's dead, but when Robert Schuller was preaching in the Crystal Cathedral, they actually took out the words, "such a worm as I," in their hymns because it was offending people. They didn't want to be called a worm. So we have that type of mentality going on today, that type of preaching. People don't want to offend anybody and tell them they're a sinner, lost sinner. And the truth is, we are poor, miserable sinners. We're sinners by the nature, by the fall of Adam, by the imputed into us from that sin. And so we are sinners. Friend, I want you to know we're not here to preach kumbaya messages and sit around a campfire and roast marshmallows and tell everybody how good they are. We say what God says. And so I want to start out by saying that the Bible makes it extremely crystal clear that men are sinners. In Romans 5 and 12, the Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Now, we're well aware of what happened there in the book of Genesis when Adam and Eve was there in the garden. Eve partook of the fruit, and Adam purposely sinned. He purposely sinned. He went along with it, and he took a bite of that fruit. And ever since then, that sin that he committed has been passed on to every man and woman all through the generations and will forever until the Lord takes us out of here, until the end of everything goes. But we all are sinners. The Bible says that. It says that death passed upon all men. There was no death until Adam sinned. When he committed that sin, death entered into the scene. Death and disease. Do you know there would have been no disease had sin not ever came? Do you know there would be no such thing as cancer if sin had not entered into to man? Because God, that was not His plan to begin with. It was His to be perfect. These bodies that He created were made to last forever. Adam would have lasted forever. There would have been no death for man. But since he sinned, then death came forth, because sin brings forth death. That's the penalty of sin. And blood must be shed to cover that sin. Well, I want to quote you one of the quotes from one of the most popular preachers here in the United States of America today, and I hesitate to even call this person a preacher because it's unbiblical. Her name is Joyce Meyer, and she claims the title of being a preacher. And I don't know how she does that, but she does. And this is from her sermon, very popular sermon. It's called What Happened from the Cross to the Throne. She preached this here a few years ago, not here, but she preached a few years ago this message, and I want to give you a quote from what she said in her message. Now, this was heard by millions of people, and she has millions of followers and people that listen to everything that she says, and they cling to it. And here's what she said. She said, "All I was ever taught to say was that I am a poor, miserable sinner." All right, that sounds good so far. And then she goes on to say, "I am not poor, I am not miserable, and I am not a sinner. That is a lie from the pit of hell. That is what I was, and if I still was, then Jesus died in vain. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I didn't stop sinning until I finally got it through my thick head. I wasn't a sinner anymore. And the religious world thinks that's heresy, and they want to hang you for it. But the Bible says that I am righteous, and I can't be righteous and be a sinner at the same time." So according to Joyce Meyer, the Bible is from the pit of hell. That the words of Jesus and the words of John and the words of Paul are from the pits of hell. Because the Bible is very clear, and we just read in Romans 5 and 12 that all have sinned. All are sinners. Once you become saved, you are not no longer a sinner. And by the way, there's nothing righteous about us. The only righteousness we have is the righteousness through Jesus Christ. We claim His righteousness, not ours. Ours is nothing but filthy rags. And so the only righteousness that we have when we trust Jesus our Savior, yes, we become saints, we become a child of God, but it's only because we have Christ. If it wasn't for Christ, we wouldn't be righteous. There's nothing that could be. And so it's only by Him that we're righteous. Are we still sinners? Definitely we're still sinners. In fact, I'm going to prove it from the Bible. Let's let be God be true and every man, and in some cases women, a liar. First of all, what about our past sins? Well, everyone has sins in their past. 1 John 1 and 10, as we read in the opening text, said, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." Did you notice what it said? It didn't say that it makes you a liar when you say you didn't sin. It said, you made God a liar. And so if we take from what this Joyce Meyer said, she's actually calling God a liar. Because the Bible says that if we say we've not sinned, then we make Him a liar. So we are sinners, and He is not a liar. The Bible tells us that God cannot lie. Over in Titus 1:1-2, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness and hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Therefore, it is a fact that every person in the past has sinned. What about sinning now? What about in the present, our present sins? Well, 1 John 1 and 8, he said, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." You notice he said, if we say we have no sin, that's present tense. That's not past tense or future, that means now. If I'm telling you that I have no sin, then I'm deceiving myself. And I'm not. There's the truth's not in me. The Bible says that we do. We do have sin in us. And so he says that we don't have the truth. If we believe that the Apostle John is not telling the truth here, then the Apostle John would have been lost and in hell. But he's telling the truth because this is what the Word of God says. Or what about Paul, who said this in 1 Timothy 1:15? "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Paul wrote that when he was saved. He said, "I am chief." He didn't say, "I used to be chief. But now that I'm saved, I'm no longer a sinner. Until I got it through my thick head, I didn't realize that." No, he said, "because I'm chief sinner here." In fact, Paul dealt with his sin many times through the Bible. "Oh, wicked man that I am." And he realized he had to sin. He said, "I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things I want to do. And there's nothing I can do about it. I try, but I can't do it. Because I'm a chief sinner." So we have sin presently. Even though we're saved, we have present sin. What about our future sins? 1 John 2, 1 through 2, we read it there. He says, "My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is a propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." This is where a lot of religions get a lot of false doctrine from. And they look at this and they can't grasp the concept of grace. It's grace. It's by grace are you saved, through faith, not of your works. And so our future sins, the Bible indicates right here clearly, you're going to sin. He says, "My children, I write these things that you sin not." We know once we're saved that we should not sin. We ought not sin, that it shouldn't be in us. But it is. He says, "And if you do," don't let me misquote it here, "that you sin, and if any man sin," in other words, if you do sin, "we have an advocate with the Father." You confess that sin. You realize you've sinned. You're not lost if you've been saved. You didn't lose your salvation when you sinned, but you lost your fellowship with Christ. And so the Bible says, but you've got a cure for that. You've got an advocate there, a Jesus Christ, and He's your propitiation. In other words, He's the only one. He's the solution for that sin. He can take that out of your life and restore your fellowship with Him. And so, yes, we've got sins in our past, we've got sins in our present, and we've got sins in our future. You can bank on it. You're not going to ever achieve sinless perfection until you reach heaven or until the Lord comes back and takes us as His own. Romans 8, 1 through 9, I want to read that to you because this is a clear indication of what the Bible's talking about. Listen to this. Romans 8, and verse 1, "There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin." And notice that it was through Christ Jesus that we've been freed from this condemnation of sin. We didn't get freed from sin, of ever committing sin, but we got free from the penalty and the punishment, and the condemnation that sin brings to us. And so he goes on to say, "For what the law could not do, and that it was weak from the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is an enmity against God. For it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then that they are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have no Spirit of Christ, he's none of his." So if you've been saved, you have the Spirit of Christ within you. It's by Him that you're able to not be condemned for your sins. He's the one that can cleanse you of that. And if a person is truly saved, his sins can no longer condemn him. No longer. No matter what you've done, after you've been saved, your sin cannot condemn you to hell. It cannot. If you're one of those that think, well, you know, now that I'm saved, I can go ahead and do anything I want to. You know, there's some of that bad theology going around. If you believe that way, then you don't understand the grace of God. You don't understand how important it is and how God sees sin. If that's the way you feel, I've got to really question your integrity and question whether or not you truly have understood the way of salvation. Because once we become saved, we no longer want to sin. It's not our desire anymore. Now, you may be tempted. You may be pulled. You may be some of the things that you used to do may come up and haunt you and try to pull you back in. But your desire is not to do those things. And you try to fight it. If you're saved, that Holy Spirit living inside of you, the Holy Spirit, He's telling you the whole time, you don't want to do this. Stay away from that. Your flesh will keep pulling you, wanting you to do it. But the Holy Spirit's going to keep trying to pull you this way. Don't do it. Don't do it. And so we have this battle going on between us. Paul talked about that. But you must understand that you don't get saved and then just merely go around sinning all you want. Because you don't want to sin anymore. But you will. Now, am I preaching easy believism? You better believe I'm not. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. I believe a man must understand he's a lost sinner bound for hell. He must confess of those sins. He must trust Jesus as his Savior to be saved. That's what my Bible says. The Bible does say that calling upon the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. Now, a lot of people, the ones that have the easy believism, said that's all you got to do right there. Don't matter what you think about yourself, what you think about sin or anything like that. Just call on the name of the Lord. They've left out the rest of the Bible. Salvation is simple for us. Very, very difficult for Christ to go through for us. But for us, it is easy, but we must first realize and understand we are a lost sinner. Jesus said, repent lest you perish. We must repent. What did we just learn in our Acts Bible study last Wednesday night? The people, when they were understood and they were condemned in their sins, and they come and they said, what must we do? What shall we do? And Peter said, repent. That's the first step in salvation. You must repent. And by the way, that repentance, like I said the other night, is not a work. It's not a work salvation. Repentance is all one step. You realize you're a lost sinner in your sins, and you turn from those sins, and you turn to the Savior to save you. It's a one-step process. So it's not a work, but that's part of it, is repentance. Now I want to read you the Roman road. And anybody ever comes to you and they want to understand how the salvation works and how they can know that they're a sinner. What does the Bible say? How do I know the Bible really tells us that I'm a sinner? Give them the Roman road. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. That includes anybody, everybody, and all. And then go over to Romans 5:8. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us even though we are sinners. Even though we were in our sins, He died for us. People can't grasp that mentality, because we expect people to change before we help them. I'm not going to help you until you clean up, until you do this, and you do that, and you do that. That's not God's requirement. He don't require you to do all these changes like that. He does the changes. Once you confess of your sins, He starts doing the changing. And so He says He died for us while we were yet sinners. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the payment for sin, we've already said this, sin brings forth death. When Adam sinned, death came into the world. Ever since then, anytime you have a sin, don't matter what it is, don't matter if it's a little bitty fib, that little fib right there requires death. That's the penalty for it. Thank God He took that away from us. We don't have to pay that price. He paid it. Romans 10:9-10. But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the heart confession is made unto salvation. So we must believe all that the Lord Jesus came to save us of our sins. And we confess those sins and He saves us. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So the Bible promises us, if we confess our sins, that He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us, the Bible says, from all unrighteousness. So once you're saved and you sin and you repent of that sin, you know, even those sins that you really aren't sure that you committed, or that you didn't even realize you did them, you know, there are sins like that. There's things that we've done and our conscience may not have told us. You just sinned. There are there's sins that will happen in our life that we may not be aware of. But when we confess of our sins, the Bible says that let me read it again. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not just that one you just confessed to, but everything it may be in your life, any sin that may be there that you wasn't even aware of, that you didn't even know you needed to confess from. The Bible says He cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Now, by confession, sin is placed under the blood of Jesus, under His cleansing blood. That's the only way that our sins is cleansed. And when it's under His blood, is no longer condemning us. No longer. Now, let me give you real quickly and we'll be finished. What does God do with those sins? And I preached this one time, and this lady that had been in church for over 50 years, she came to me and she said, I have never heard anybody tell me this. I've never had anybody come up and tell me what God does with all my sins. Well, let me just tell you, Isaiah 43:25. I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. He won't remember them anymore. All of a sudden, God's got a memory problem when it comes to your confessed sin. When you confess that sin, He says, hey, what sin? What sin are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. Isaiah 44:22 says, I've blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. And so He took those sins and He said, I blot those sins out. They're no longer valid. I can't see them. I don't even know what they are. I've done forgotten. They're gone. Hebrews 8:12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities. will I remember no more. That's from your New Testament. He says, I can't remember those sins. Micah 7:19. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He'll subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. That's a picture of endlessness. That's a picture of never, ever again to be pulled back up. It's impossible. It's gone. And then lastly, in Psalm 103 and 12, the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. In other words, it's never ending. You can't get there from here. It's as far as the east from the west. It's forever, infinity, and beyond. And so once you're forgiven, God never, ever, 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 ever brings up that sin again. He will never come up to you. That is never God that comes up and says, hey, remember your sin? Remember what you did? That is not God. That is Satan. That is your flesh that's trying to remind you. You see, the biggest problem of our sin that we have in our life is we are the ones that keep bringing it back up. We're the ones that keep going back and trudging it back up and pulling it around like an old dirty suitcase or like a ball and chain, and we keep it on our shoulders and we walk around, I can't believe I did that, I did that. If you confess that sin, let it go. It's gone. He took it. He can't even remember it anymore. You're the one remembering it. Let go of it. That's what the Bible says. He can't remember them. Why do you keep remembering them? And I'll tell you what, the devil, if you're a Christian tonight and you've got sin in your life and you confessed it and you've gave it over to Christ, the devil will do his dead level best to keep trying to bring it back up to you, to destroy your walk with Him. He'll do it to destroy your walk, your testimony, your work for God. He'll do anything in his power to try to keep you to remember those sins. Forget them. Put them behind you. In fact, that's what Paul says to do. Apostle Paul writes this. This is my life verses, in case you didn't know. Philippians 3:13-14. Paul writes, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul had all these things in his past that it could have just drug him down, destroyed his walk. He could have said, I've done so many bad things. I've destroyed the church of God. I've done all these things to people that love Jesus, and I fought against Him. I kicked against Him, and I just can't go on. I can't do anything. He could have kept doing that, but he said, no, you know what? I'm forgetting all that garbage back there. That was who I used to be. I'm no longer that person. And I've been forgiven, and I've got to forget it. I'm pressing on. I'm looking toward the mark. I'm reaching for that prize in Christ Jesus, what I'm doing. That's what Paul said. What about Jesus? Jesus tempted in the desert by Satan. He said this. He said, get behind me, Satan. For it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. You'll find that in Luke 4:8, the last part of it. Get behind me, Satan. He also, when Satan tried to use Peter, remember when he tried to use Peter to tempt Jesus? Jesus told the devil this. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. That's in Mark 8:33 in the last part of it. So we have examples from the Bible from not only Paul, but from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. When the devil comes to you, tries to make you try to remember those old sins and drag them back up, tell him, get out of here. Get out of my life. You don't belong here. I belong to Jesus. You can't touch me. And you know what? I've read the back of the book, and guess what? Where you're going at the end. That's what we can tell him. Get out of my life, Satan. So, you know, sin has been defeated by Jesus. He defeated it on the cross of Calvary. That's where sin was defeated. Never, ever to be brought back again. He'll never have to die for it again. He died one time for sin on the cross. That's all it took. That's all it took. So I want Charlotte to come and play the piano tonight. We'll give an invitation song. If you have a need tonight, whatever it may be, if you need to come up to the altar for any reason, you don't have to tell me what's going on. I'm not a priest in the Catholic faith that you've got to confess anything to me. If you've got something going on, you need to talk to the Lord and you want to come to the altar, you feel free tonight. You come down, pray, and we'll pray with you. What are we singing tonight?